pronounced to according to you. When the day came for them to be purified, as laid down by the Lord Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, observing what stands written in the law of the Lord, that every firstborn male must be consecrated to the Lord, and also to offer in sacrifice, in accordance with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now in Jerusalem there was a man named Simeon. He was an upright and devout man, and he looked forward to Israel's comforting, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had set eyes on the Christ of the Lord. Prompted by the Spirit, he came to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the law required, he took him into his arms and blessed God. And he said, "Now, Master, you can let your servant go in peace, just as you promised, because my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared for all the nations to see, a light to enlighten the pagans and the glory of your people Israel." As the child's father and mother stood there, wondering at the things that were being said of him, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "You see this child, he is destined for the fall and for the rising of many in Israel, destined to be a sign that is rejected, and a sword will pierce your own soul too, so that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare. There was a prophetess also, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was well on in years, her days of girlhood over. She had been married for 7 years before becoming a widow. She was now 84 years old, and never left the temple, serving God night and day with fasting and prayer. She came by just at that moment and began to praise God, and she spoke of the child to all who looked forward to the deliverance of Jerusalem. When they had done all that the law of the Lord required, they went back to Galilee, to their own town, Nazareth. Meanwhile, the child grew to maturity, and he was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was with him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Send my messenger to prepare a way before me, says the Lord God. I wonder what those listening to Malachi thought of that. Did they think of a great prophet? Very likely they did, because in another place in this last chapter, Malachi speaks of the coming of the prophet Elijah, and he, in Jewish thinking, was the one who would come and put the nation to rights before the day of God. But the behavior of this messenger, who is called the Angel of the Covenant, is something more than simply the arrival of a prophet. Who will be able to resist the day of his coming? He is like the refiner's fire and the fuller's alkali. He will take his seat, the act of a king, to take a throne as refiner and purifier. And that would be a strange thing for a king to become. Very few of the kings could have been said to be purifiers of the nation throughout history. He will purify the sons of Levi. He will purify the priesthood. Purify those who offer the sacrifice. And he will refine them like gold and silver. This is not the work of a prophet, however great. then they will make the offering to the Lord as it should be made. And the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will then be welcomed by the Lord as in former days, as in the years of old. So the Lord you are awaiting will suddenly enter his temple, and the cult, the worship, will be transfigured. And suddenly, all that had been said of the faith of the people would be made true, and the people would make atonement for God at last. It's a messianic prophecy. It's a prophecy of a figure bearing the authority of God, the anointing of the Lord. And because the theme of kingship is not pointed out, it means that this Lord, this angel of the covenant, will take to himself the themes of royalty and priesthood and all the anointed themes of the Old Testament. And this unnamed and undelineated figure who will change Jerusalem and make the people acceptable again is the one we greet today in the figure of the child coming to be presented. Luke is a little confused about the liturgy of such an occasion because he's not a Jew and he's writing second hand about a custom which he never saw observed. Seems to have confused the purification of a mother after childbirth, the ritual purification, with the themes of the redemption sacrifice. When the firstborn was slaughtered in Egypt, in this mysterious and ancient story where God breaks the hearts of those who have hardened their hearts against him, so that his people may be released. At that moment, the Passover firstborn, the firstborn who were not killed, those marked with the blood of the Lamb, became especially the Lord's possession, being marked out by him for survival. Their lives pass into his hand. And the Jews believed that for a firstborn, a man or beast, there had to be a sacrifice to redeem from this possession. It's a very, very ancient, primitive ritual, and we shouldn't subject it to the glassy stare of a modern theological outlook. These stories are much more ancient than our story, our personal story. We sometimes find it appalling that God should engineer the salvation of his people through the death of the Egyptians. And so have the Jews thought down the ages. We all know the ancient story of from the rabbis, that God is weeping in heaven. And the angels come to him and say, "Why are you weeping? It is the feast of Passover." And God says, "My Egyptian children are lying dead on the shore, and you ask me to be happy." We have come such a long way since those stories were written. And our sensitivities have changed enormously. And so with the ritual of redemption, we turn on that an eye which can hardly comprehend that when firstborn emerges into the world, we must pay a sacrifice to God for redemption. And Luke can be forgiven from his Gentile world for mixing it all up and making it so difficult to understand in his story. But he's called to his aid the figure of Simeon and the figure of Anna. These two people who come to the temple Then, as he says about the Holy Spirit, they are very important in this feast. Because in this Gospel, Luke is speaking about the Old Testament. He's speaking to the people of the Old Testament, especially. Simeon is an old man, and he's lived a long and faithful life. And he has waited and waited for the sight of the salvation which he had heard promised in the Old Testament. And in the coming of Jesus Christ, he sees no devastating sign. He doesn't say of this child who has come to the temple that it will be necessary for this man to die for the sake of the people. He doesn't say this child is going to be a blasphemer and this child must be condemned. He speaks in the name of a Judaism that is looking for its Messiah, looking for the angel of the covenant. And says, now let me go in peace, just as you promised. His going in peace is the going in peace of the whole of the Old Testament. He has seen salvation, he has seen the promise come true, and he asks for nothing more. Now I can go. My time of waiting is ended. I have seen what I long to see. And then he says that beautiful couplet which gives us our definition of Jesus for today: a light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. See how he's united the Jew and the Gentile so peacefully in this old man's prayer. And how the passing of the old law is no longer the bitter, struggling thing which it was in history, but something which happens just as you promised, something which is a complete fulfillment. I remember in the Sermon on the Mount, which we're reading on Sundays just now, how Jesus says, do not imagine I've come to abolish the law of the prophets, but to fulfill them. I find in this figure of Simeon all kinds of figures that I've known. All the people who have kept the faith and have looked for the coming of Christ. All the people who have died without seeing the ending of their own hopes. Because our time of hope hasn't ended with this first coming. We Christians take up the torch from Simeon and become people who hope on into the future. We look for another coming of Christ, which will do what Malachi's angel would do. And we look for him to come today as we come to the place of sacrifice with the light in our hearts. We ask him to refine us and to make us able to give our offering and to make our sacrifice, whatever it may be that God has asked of us, to make it generous and full of light and truthful and fulfilled. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray for those who have dealt with despair or disappointment in their lives. Let us pray that in the Word of God and in the broken bread of the Lord's Supper, they may hold in their hands the end and purpose of all their hopes.
eternal light. Fill the hearts of all believers with the light of faith.